I am unashamed. What about you?
So, today, Jace, you may not be aware of this, is the 100th episode of the Unashamed podcast. So, if we had applause, if we were like a radio show, we could put in some applause there. You know, it's always like TV shows or, you know, radio or I guess podcast now. 100. When you hit 100, it's like there's some sort of achievement.
Why is that?
I don't know. I felt like we should have had a cake or something, but it's just us and our Black Rifle coffee. Are you missing out on the party? Or
I guess most people, if you hadn't done it after 100, you might well, you know, shut her down and go to the house.
So
you're still there after 100. Well, you're still there.
Maybe it's because
wherever there is,
people who live to 100.
Well, you know, I remember when we did Duck Dynasty. I remember specifically when we got to the 100th episode. Everybody, like all the crew and everybody, they were all.
Well, they made a big deal.
They made a huge deal. I was like, this is 100.
But then episode. We did 30 more.
Yeah, so 130, right, total. But somehow, in the old days on TV, that had something to do with if you hit 100, like some kind of financial thing kicks in, something about a residual rights for the show. I don't know all the stuff about
that. Well, if I find something at least 100 years old when I'm metal detecting, I'm happy. If I can identify that it's 100 years old, I'm
like. But you're still pretty excited even if it's 96 years old, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, but over 100.
So here's a couple of things I was thinking of. So today we're airing, as people are listening to this, if you go back 100 days, well, this is interesting. You think about it, you think 100 days goes by, you don't think too much about it.
I'm kind of about a 3-day guy.
Well, exactly. So this is fascinating. So 100 days ago, since we're celebrating our 100th podcast, it was February 29th, 2020. So interestingly enough, February 29th is a leap day, right? It only occurs once every 4 days. So I found that to be
every 4 years.
Every 4 years. That's right.
I was fixed to say.
Well, that would be. I don't know if you remember this, Dad. Your oldest brother, who's gone on to be with the Lord, James Francis Robertson, was born on February 29th. His birthday was a leap year.
He only celebrated every four years.
And so I just remember growing up, he would always say that, and he would always say, you know, so I'm only, and he would always deduct it back to however many years he had a birthday, you know, so he was always that 1/4 of whatever he actually was.
That is kind of weird.
It is. Think about if your birthday was that day. Of course, I was thinking about you should get married on that day. Because then you would only have an anniversary once every 4 years.
You just offended all women.
I know. Probably shouldn't have done that. So would Missy go for that with the once every 4 years?
Absolutely not.
Anyway, here's some things that happened, Jay. So you don't remember because you can't remember 3 days ago. LSU was still playing basketball. They beat A&M on February the 29th, 100 days ago. And it solidified their 4 seed in the SEC tournament. Do you remember that?
Season to nowhere.
It was season to nowhere because as soon as they got in the SEC tournament, it got the whole thing.
Once they disbanded the basketball, I forgot everything that happened because it really didn't.
But it really did.
No,
that's the same. No, it happened.
Now, there will be no record of that. It'll be the year they never played. They just quit playing basketball.
So I'll tell you about this. See if you remember this. So, because we're into LSU sports, obviously. LSU baseball, Baylor beat LSU 6-4. They played Texas, Baylor, and OU at Houston. The next day.
Now, I remember that.
OU beats LSU. Listen to this, Dad. You probably weren't aware of this. So, OU had a no-hitter. The guy pitched a no-hitter.
This is painful. This is a memory that I've tried to forget, and now you're bringing this up again.
So, he no-hits LSU. I think it's the first time they've ever been no-hit. It's on record. But, look, here's what's more amazing. While he's no-hitting LSU, the LSU pitcher pitches a one-hitter, but the one hit was a home run. I think it was in the bottom of the eighth.
And
we lost 1-0.
Why would you bring this up on our one? This was supposed to be a happy day.
Okay, let me make it happen. So after that, LSU won 5 straight. Of course, then the season ended and it goes to nowhere. So to your point. Here's another one, Dad. The World Health Organization on this day raised the global risk of coronavirus to very high. At the time, we had 23 cases and the first death. This is only 100 days ago. That's what I found fascinating was look at what's happened in 100 days. It almost seems like another, like that was another year, like another decade This all happened in 100 days. Stock market this day ended its biggest drop in a week since 2008. You probably knew about that, Dave.
Oh, I was buying. I was buying. Looking like a genius now, huh, Phil?
Joe Biden won the South Carolina primary on 100 days ago. They still had, remember primaries? Remember when people were talking about the presidential election? Remember when it was an election year?
Wasn't aware.
So, and I thought about it from a personal standpoint. Lisa and I are planning all our speaking trips, and Dad had a couple of speaking trips. And you know, it's funny, you just make all these plans. We're going to be going here, and we got our air flights, and we're going, and all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
It just ended. I mean, the whole thing just stopped.
I don't know the exact day when the word came down, but I wouldn't have been driving to town but once a week. But then that I shut that down. That was like, I think that was maybe early March.
No, it was.
Yeah, it was. You haven't seen civilization in 3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months.
It was actually the week. It was right around the first few days of March because Lisa and I had spoken in Maryland, and I didn't realize at the time it would be the last time I would speak out until this last week. And that was the first live stream at Weiss Ferry Road was that next Sunday. It was like March the 12th. So it shut down that week.
Somebody said, well, boy, you just don't realize being shut down like that down there on the river by yourself, you and your woman, you don't realize how much you've missed, you know, a few family visits. If you could just go to town, you could see it. So what do you figure I've missed based on the news reports, what's going on in all the cities? I don't know whether it's going on in Monroe. I haven't been up there.
No, Monroe's
Are they jumping around at Monroe, too, and running and hollering, looting, burning?
None of that. In fact, the whole state of Louisiana, I heard the governor talking about it, has behaved pretty well. There's been some protests, but everything's been peaceful. We're not burning neighborhoods and hurting people. I mean, I've been proud of our folks in our state. You know, they've responded the right way. So, Dad, a lot of people have experienced depression and things like that from being at home, but you don't seem depressed. You seem to be upbeat.
Yeah. Yesterday, the menu was ribeyes, ribeye steaks. Mm-hmm. We have jambalayas, ribeyes, crawfish, fried catfish. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're you know, fine salads. Dan goes, the women's guy has Dan going up there because he's expendable. He goes up there. The virus, he's like in his 30s. Oh, it doesn't bother young people. Go ahead on up there, Dan.
So well, Dan he's a workout.
Keeps you in groceries, too. That's where it works.
So Dan doesn't have to go to a gym. He is a workout fiend, but he kind of does his own. He's like ninja-style self-workouts, right?
That's
He used to send me videos until I told him to stop doing it. That was just creepy. You know, don't send me your workout videos. I don't really care.
I don't want to see you work out.
Yeah. Somebody asked, and somebody sent this. So I'll go ahead and get you to tell because I just got this question from a viewer from Michigan a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't put it in the mix of questions, but they were like, I'm not sure if I need to ask this. That was the way they led him with the question. But why does your dad refer to Dan as Dan the eunuch?
It's real simple. Dan has renounced marriage. Therefore, biblically speaking, Matthew 19, you can read it.
I'll read it. I think it's a great passage because through my life, I've had a lot of people sitting on a couch saying, my problem is I don't know what my problem is. Mm-hmm. And Jesus basically defined marriage in Matthew 19 where he said, Verse 4, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made the male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.
Yep.
And then he makes this really profound statement, therefore what God has joined together, let man not separate. They usually still say that today in weddings. That's where they got it from.
Right.
Well, then they asked a question. They said, well, why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce?
Well, that's the Pharisees who were trying to trap Jesus.
Right? All right. And he's like, well, he let you do that because your hearts were hard. But it wasn't that way from the beginning. And then he goes on to say that if you divorce except for marital unfaithfulness and, you know, and marry a woman, then you got another problem, which is adultery. And,
correct.
Well, then the disciples are sitting there saying, well, sounds like to me, it may be just better not to get married. Well, then he makes the statement, which is where you came up with Dan the eunuch. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given, for some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. And so there was three categories there. And I've delved into each three. I mean, like that second one, I think that's can be physically. You tend to think physically they were made that way by men, you know, thinking castration. Right. But it, I think also it can be mentally, you know, where people are manipulated or, you know, they possibly have a tough situation. So,
and I have some friends, a couple of them that are sort of like the first.
There's nothing wrong with anyone saying, I'm just going to stay single.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing
wrong with it whatsoever.
I would argue the greatest two spiritual minds that have ever walked planet Earth, the first being Jesus, second being the Apostle Paul, were both single and never married. So, you know, as much as—
by Jesus' definition, they were in fact eunuchs.
That's right. And then
Paul said it's better not to marry. He's like, can't control yourself.
That's right.
And your wife.
What's your famous line?
I talked to Laura Trump the other day, and I said, Laura, just remember this. People who marry, I'm quoting a Bible verse, people who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. And Laura said, you need to talk to Eric. So, Eric, if you're out there somewhere, Eric, we need to sit down, son. Be good to your woman. You need to love her.
So what a life we live.
Be kind to her.
Dad just drives it in. Oh, I was talking to Laura Trump.
Don't cause her more trouble than it's worth.
He quotes that.
She smiled. She said something to the effect, is that it? I said, yeah, that's a Bible verse. But most people who hear it, they're like, people who marry will
face. Well, the time you quoted that at Sadie's wedding, Christian, I felt a little uncomfortable, but I said, well, he is quoting scripture, but it was kind of like what we're doing here. It's supposed to be happy times.
So Sadie says, I said about it, her and Christian both, Dad, I don't think I've told you this. We were laughing about it that you quote that scripture. And Sadie said, oh, that's why I love Papa Phil so much. She said, we were kind of tense and like, and this was right at the beginning. They were having these sound issues. Remember the mic kept going in and out. And so everybody was like getting tense. And when you did that, she said, we just busted out laughing, and she said, and from then on, Chris and I both were relaxed for the rest of the wedding. You know, they were feeling the tension because this is a big soiree.
I think that was a nice way to say this was really awkward because the sound was not working, but then when Papa Phil started speaking, it became so much more awkward that everybody forgot the sound not working.
That's right. Well, if everybody looks at their own marriages, they say, we'll face many troubles. I would say, yeah. How many people have you sat down with, Al, and had counseling sessions? Ooh. You're like, yeah, many troubles. Yeah, here's another one. How many will it take before you say the Apostle Paul was right?
Oh, it's
but just, what y'all don't realize.
Being single is cheaper, and you won't have as much trouble as you would if you were married. It's just the reality of marriage.
But what y'all don't realize is
the key is work through them all.
I was a virgin when I got married. I'm proud of that fact. I tell young people all across the world, you know, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Don't listen to your friends, you know. But, you know, I remember going through that process of saying, I read this passage that I just read, and I thought, do I just want to go single? I remember
because you probably could have pulled it off.
Well, I had made it so far, and it's the, you know, people, I've had some interesting conversations because people are like, I mean, I just couldn't do that. But you don't realize you don't know what you're missing until you know what you're missing. And so, but I'm telling you, you know, it's just when I saw my wife, when she got in that car, because I was attracted, you know, to good looking women. And when my wife got in the car, I thought, nope. I'm going to have to marry this woman. I mean, I'm just not going to be able. And I thought about the 1 Corinthians 7, but it did put me in the proper perspective of laying the speech out early. I'm like, I'm looking for a person to help me get to heaven. I want to unite in Jesus. Do you want to pursue that? I mean, that was the initial conversation I had with her. That was the first thing we talked
about.
Most
of the time in America, that's not the
unfortunately,
the agenda that you start with.
Unfortunately,
I'm guessing that. I may be wrong.
No, I think you're right. Let's take a quick break. So obviously, economics have been a lot of discussion here lately with everything that's been going on with stock markets and coronavirus and everything else. It's kind of been an up and down time. And so I know people are trying to kind of watch their coins, which is smart. One of our sponsors is a company called Patriot Mobile, which so they do cell phone. And so they basically are offering some pretty good deals right now to check them out. And what I like about them is that they kind of share our values. They're a conservative group. One of the things you don't have to worry about them doing that you do some of these bigger corporations is they only support the kind of people we like to. We don't like sending money to Planned Parenthood and some of these other organizations. So Patriot Mobile is really good that way. So, you know, if you go with those guys, you're going to be supporting people that love freedom and love America like we do. So here's what you do to check them out. You can call them at 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT, or you can go to patriotmobile.com/Phil. So you can get a customized family plan starting at just $25, which, man, that's pretty good for cell phone. So check them out. You're going to get a free gift, an activation. You can keep your own cell phone. patriotmobile.com/Phil and see if these guys can hook you up with cell phone coverage. So in my case, unfortunately, I was like you're talking about, Dad. I lost my virginity at 14 years old. I had a 16-year-old girlfriend. And, you know, so it sent me down a super bad path from 14 till I was 18. So when I finally came to my senses, just like the prodigal son, and came back home, you know, now I'm brand new. I'm like, you know, so I knew. I was like, I don't want to go down that road again. And so I just thought, you know, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give the deal about just seeing if I could do it, you know, because I'd already been sexually active with her and other people. And so I remember, like, so I was just avoiding any girls. And, of course, there was old girlfriends. I was back in town. They're all, you know, they're hounding me. And I'm just, like, trying to just keep my head down and go to school and work out here. And so I figured out, I just kind of battled it for a while, and I thought, nope. I just don't have the get, because I kept being drawn to it, you know, but I didn't want to get into the illicit anymore. I'm a new creation. So I'd made a vow to God that I wasn't going to have sex again until I got married. I was going to do it the right way. And so it was interesting because I called Lisa. She and I had been sexually active a couple of years earlier, but I just thought, you know, I'd broken her heart, but I knew how crazy she was about me. I thought, if I'm going to make them, I need to find somebody that would be committed to me in Christ and get married. And I was young. I was only 19 years old. Because I just thought, I can't do it. I was like, you know, remember Paul said, if you burn with passion, you better get married.
That's what he said.
So I thought, I need to get married because I can't. Yeah. I'm not strong enough. So I called Lisa up, and first thing I told her was like about my conversion, who I was, and we ain't doing any of that. And of course, then I gave her the line that Dad gave me. He said, look, and if I'm not dating anybody, if you can't be converted, then you're out. You know, which is, you know, think about looking back at it, that's not really the lead in question, because it led to other problems. But so we got married and we did it. It was difficult because of past, you know, problems, but we did it. We didn't mess up until we got married. And
it does create a foundation.
It does.
I think I did everything right. And then in a moment of weakness, when her dad was like, y'all are too young to get married, I quoted that verse. You know, and all heck broke loose. I'm like, wait a minute now. As many guys that's probably been pawing around on your daughter, you know what I mean? I have been a complete gentleman, and now you're saying, no?
Wait?
I was like, okay, preacher man, here's a verse. Better to marry than to burn with passion. And I could just see fire come out in his eyes.
He was burning with passion.
Now he was visualizing.
He didn't want to give his daughter up.
What was fixed to happen to his poor daughter. And I was like, hey,
Jace,
I'm doing this God's
way. Another factor was he found out, you know, where you lived, what you did for a living, and he's like, oh, no, you got into a bunch of rednecks down on the river. Are you crazy? Girl, have you gone nuts?
That's exactly what happened.
Well, and that's kind of our – we have a little
What does he say now, Jace?
Oh, he's happy. So he comes in. He comes in singing.
You fry him fish, and everybody's happy now.
Yeah. I noticed. You know what I noticed? I don't know if I can share this because I think they listen, but I guess it'll be all right. I noticed the transition when my life got really better is when we'd go out to eat, and I would just pay for the meal. The whole meal. I don't care who's all there. You know, I'm like,
your in-laws always appreciate that.
Well, he come over rubbing my shoulder. Oh,
You got a little massage with your meal and jokes.
We're back on the loaves and fish again.
I agree with you. That's an interesting point because I thought about the same thing before, that for anybody, for anything, life got easier. I can remember the first time I went to Europe and nobody had any money. So we're all in Europe, but we're all broke. You know, like only two people with a credit card. So every check, we're trying to figure it to the penny and spread it around. It was just miserable. And I thought, man, life is good when you can have just somebody in the group that can say, yeah, here, just give me that to me. And then we can get on about our life and do what we're doing.
But I think as a father-in-law, because he was so scared, rightfully so, about here I am. And now he's thinking, I mean, this guy's buying our dinner, you know, every time we go out. I mean, I'm like, give me the check, you know. But I think he's like, in a kind of a small, silly way, it's like, yep, well, we've made it.
It's the transition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this is our 100th podcast. So I thought it was interesting. Dad, I went back. So 100 days is one thing. But I went back and did a little research to 100 years ago.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to make 100 days, a lot's changed, right? And here were just a few things, and so you guys can tell me what you think about this. So in 1920, 100 years ago, here's some of what was going on. So here's the price of things. A house in 1920 cost $3,500. So, and that was probably a pretty nice house. That was just average price that was going on in America. So I don't know what the average house would be today, but it would obviously be what?
Well, 35.
At least 10 times.
$3,500.
I mean, 100 times that.
We'll get you a tent that you will take, and it'll last you probably two trips.
Yeah.
And you'll have to buy another one.
You're not going far with $3,500. A car was $2,000, which that was a new car, which I thought, you know, that was cars that just come out. Not too far. So, you know, that's a little bit higher than I anticipated. I thought that was kind of –
That
you know,
is. My first two vehicles that I had was under $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was in high school,
$1,000.
You could buy a C10 little Chevrolet, a pickup truck, for $2,200, $2,300. Gasoline was 25 cents a gallon, 25 cents a gallon.
Well, in 1920, Dad, it was 15 cents.
Yep.
So what were you telling me? So that was in the 50s is when it was been for?
Early 60s.
Early 60s.
Late 50s.
Which now gas is down to $1.25 here, which is kind of amazing.
It's amazing.
$4.50, not too
much. So here was an interesting another fact with the idea about the price of cars and gas. So I thought this was interesting. The Ford Motor Company produced so much factory wood waste as they're building cars that they manufactured it into charcoal, and they sold it under the name Ford Charcoal. So charcoal came about because of making cars, which was really interesting.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and the company was later renamed Kingsford Charcoal. So Kingsford Charcoal started out Ford Charcoal, which was made because they were making cars. So I said to feed in all their stuff.
I guess those Model Ts, they must have had some wood in them.
I guess so. Or else they were using it to fuel. I mean, like they're, you know, to make everything.
All of my grandparents and my own dad, I mean, they touted that Model T as the greatest thing of all. Muddy roads.
Oh, I'm sure it was a tank.
You couldn't stick them. I mean, they were.
Well, they had little thin tires on them.
All the roads were dirt, and they were still talking about the Model T. When I was a boy, I listened to them.
Yeah.
I was born in 46, you know, just right
now,
after.
Now, what do these cars call? You know, I do something for fun. You know, I'm always, a flag comes up when these companies who basically are anti-God in a lot of their, you know, the things they give their money to, but they'll have products where they use godly principles to get you to buy it. I've gone over those ad nauseum, you know. But one day I Googled, you know how you have perishable goods? Well, I Googled imperishable goods. I just want to see if anything come up. And they had a top 10. The top 10 imperishable, indestructible goods. And one of them was a Toyota truck. And I just remember it was over $100,000. And it was like, it's indestructible, imperishable. It's the greatest vehicle. I was like, for over $100,000.
I owned one time, and I begged to differ. Not the $100,000 job, but it was just a Toyota.
Let me get this right. Give me over $100,000 for this vehicle, and this thing will outlive me.
Well, I'd like to put that to the redneck test. Let's take a break. So one of the things I look forward to, my wife she gets so many packages at our house. It's just, I don't know, it's insane. Sometimes I pull up, Jason, it looks like a FedEx shipping center, you know, under my carport.
Yeah.
So every once, I don't ever get anything, but every once in a while, my favorite thing to find is my Black Rifle Coffee Club subscription package. I mean, I get excited about that because inside will be some of my favorite Black Rifle coffee, which we're drinking here on the Unashamed podcast. Yep. Murdered Out is our favorite because it's double dark, they call it, and it's really tasty. But, if you know, they got coffee for all kinds. Black Rifle Coffee is a great veteran-owned company. These guys are awesome. They love America, and we love their coffee. So I guess that you get enough foxholes, it's kind of like duck blinds. You figure out how to make some really strong coffee, right?
We're on a quest to find the greatest cup of coffee.
That's right. Well, these guys are the ones to make it for us. So we want to encourage you guys to wake up to America's coffee by going to blackriflecoffee.com/Phil. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Phil. If you enter the code Phil, you get 20% off your first order of any of their coffee products. They're all great, including the coffee club.
And I finally got the concept. You drink a cup of coffee and then you feel like you were shot out of a rifle.
So here's another instrument. So utilities, you know, if you think about it, you sit down and you pay your utilities, it's pretty high. You know, for your lights, your fuel, whatever. So utilities in 2020, which would include fuel, light, and ice for your ice box. We've talked about that before. Yep. Back in those days, you didn't have a refrigerator. You had an ice box, so you had to buy your ice. Yep. $4 a month. That's what it basically costs to keep your utilities rolling in your house. $4 a month.
I remember when it was $7 or $8.
Yeah. And now I'd say it's probably in my house. Of course, we got a big compound, but, I mean, I'm probably paying, I don't know, $1,000 a month.
At least
a few hundred. Most people are. Insurance, presumably life insurance, it says here, was $1 a month for if you wanted life insurance. So
$1 a month.
You get what you pay for.
$12 a year. So
I told your mama, she said, are we ever going to get any insurance? I said, we'll get some. She said, well, when? I said, when we have more money, we know what to do with. She said, really? I said, once you got plenty of money, I said, why not? I said, you can buy every kind of insurance, reckless walking with intent to fall. I said, go ahead.
Reckless walking with intent to fall.
Yeah.
That needs to be a slogan for an insurance company.
Don't tell them that. They'll have it. If you pay $15 a month, if you fall over while walking, we'll cover it.
I don't want to get on insurance companies.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
They just better be glad there's not more people like me out there.
I'll tell you this. Since we're being transparent on our 100th episode, the biggest argument.
It's like a counseling session.
My wife has never raised her voice to me, but we've had a few disagreements. The biggest one
they'll face many troubles in this life. Go back to
we're back to Paul's commentary.
Look, the biggest
one's over what?
The biggest argument we ever had was over life insurance. Because we were like you, didn't have life insurance because I didn't have any money. And
I knew of no person who had insurance until I was out of college.
Yeah.
I knew no one who actually had life insurance, all these insurance. Nobody had it.
So we get a little money, and she's like, you know, I think you need to get some life insurance. And I was like, are you feeling okay? And she's like, no, on you. And I was like, well, what do you want me to die? That's what started the argument, because I was like, well, why? I mean, I won't be here. I'm sure. Go marry somebody else. It'll be fine. She just blew a gasket. Like, what do you mean, marry somebody else? You know, she didn't raise her voice, but I mean, she was just like, I was like, well, why are you bringing this up? I mean, it was weird. I mean, okay, I get it. Let's give you some money, you know, when I'm dead. But I'm just, it was such a morbid thought. The fact that I wasn't jumping up and down about it, to me, should not have catered this response. I'm like, I'll do it, but I'm not going to be excited about me dying and leaving you some money.
You took it like Johnny Ringo when he noticed it was Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
Johnny, you look like somebody just walked across your grave.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Because then I thought, so let me get this right. If I leave you some money and you go marry somebody else, now y'all are just living it up on my money. And I'm dead. I'd rather
now
him.
Now you're offended by Doc.
I'm like, I'd rather him.
I don't like the concept.
I didn't like it. I was like, I'd rather him get a job. And I said, now if we get older, I'll be more open to this. But at this time, I was like 35 years old. I was like,
what I've always thought is, I've always thought there were a couple of guys in a bar, and they were about half lit. And one of them told the other, you know what I think we can do? And I think these fools will go for it. We can tell people, if you will pay us every month, pay us a certain sum every month, we'll take care of you if something happens. He said, I think people are dumb enough to go for that. And they probably argued about it and took another drink and said, well, let's see if we can pull it off.
And made millions.
And they made trillions.
And having said all that, since we lost all our insurance salesmen on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
We all have
Thanks
insurance.
Thanks for listening.
Now I have it.
You know? Well, we got a little money. We all got some. So yeah. What do you think was the – I'll ask you about this. So what do you think the – life expectancy was in 1920. In the male and female, there's only
Psalms.
A year apart.
I'm going with Psalms where it said 70 years old. 70 years old.
70 years old is what Jay said. What do you say, Dad? In 1920.
In 1920. I was saying the 70 now. I say back then.
Yeah,
1920.
Now it's like
I'm kind of getting where you're going.
Because in
50s,
the Wild West, they said it was like mid-50s. 40. I'll say 60.
Very good. The male, the female is 54.6 and the male 53.6.
Hey, and I haven't looked at any material.
Which means that Dad and I would be dead, you know, on average.
And I'm fixing it.
And you would be right there ready for Missy to collect your insurance.
Now I think it's 77 for female, no, 80 for females and 77 for males. I think now it's climbed on up.
Well, boy, we've come a long way.
So federal spending. $6.3 billion. That's how much the federal government spent in 1920.
Chump change now.
I mean, we just did what $6 trillion on the coronavirus. The first radios, radio stations were coming out about this time. Early models of TVs were starting to come out. When did you get your first? You listened on the radio.
It was
growing
in probably. I would say I was four or five. So I was about. 40, late
Do you
40s.
Remember the first time you saw a TV?
Like remember the on, first time.
What were you watching? Did you watch a show? Or?
For the first time, we all just sat there and there was just snow because they didn't have the tower tied on to the guy. So the entire neighborhood, we're in rows and we're all sitting there. And every once in a while, somebody would say, I think I saw somebody, but it was just snow.
Well, y'all, no wonder we're so weird. Who wouldn't go watch a screen with snow?
Because we'd never heard of it. They said, you can see movies on this thing. I said, about what? And that's in the days of Roy Rogers, Gene Autry. There was never any blood spilled in any Western.
Right.
Every once in a while, they'd shoot the gun out of somebody's hand.
Oh, yeah.
But they would never actually shoot you where there's blood coming out of you. Oh, no.
They'd just kind of, fall off the roof.
I mean, you know, I've seen those. I'm like, is it too much to throw some ketchup on that dude? Because he's like, oh, and then he gets the shot
it's
again.
It's too violent. That's what kind of country we had.
Yeah.
From then to now, and I've seen this take place, I am shocked on how far down we have come. Or we have gone.
Just showing stuff. Yeah, now they'll show anything.
Oh, I'm talking
about
country.
You can get on your black box and find anything you want.
Yeah, unfortunately,
about 7 seconds.
Way more than
no,
you want
No, I
to.
Don't have a black box. That's why.
I don't want to hit a nerve.
That's
here.
Why.
So let's take another break, and I got a couple more. So one of the things that's been interesting about the coronavirus, which may change everything from now on, is that people are working from home. Of course, Dad's been working from home, but you've been doing it for about, what, 50 years working at home? Not a lot of Zoom conferences and stuff like that, but he's definitely working at home. That's a great concept, and I think it's going to be good going forward because I think corporations are figuring out they can people can work at home. You know, I think that's a good thing. Except if somebody steals the title to your home, then it may not turn out so good for you. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, Dad, but one of the worst cyber crimes that seems to be growing because of, you know, everything's on the internet now is home title theft. So basically, I mean, the FBI has been warning about it. They go in, your legal title is online somewhere, they forge your signature, and then they take out loans against your property. And all of a sudden you look up one day and somebody's foreclosing on your house, and this has happened.
I mean, look, wouldn't it be interesting? I mean, they're trying to prevent this because this is just awful. You know, somebody trying to steal your house online. But isn't there a part of you that would like to see someone pull up in Phil's yard while he's in there taking a nap and wake him up and say, hey, this is my house? I would just like to see what would happen.
I would hope we had cameras when that happens.
It wouldn't be good. You see this thing right here?
Well, you got to get on the mic.
That Phil. Y'all are so proud of.
Not really proud of it.
That's all I have to say about it. They steal your house through this thing.
Your house is in there somewhere.
Miss Kay, day before yesterday, she's talking with the bank. You say, what happened? Somebody's using her credit card.
Oh, yeah.
It's through this thing. See right here? This caused the whole thing. You want riots and looting? You say, how'd they all get together and all come together under one head? Through this thing right here.
Yeah. So I'm taking it.
This is the ultimate walkie-talkie. What I'm saying is this thing has created a lot of problems, and these people, including stealing your house through this blooming thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm one of the few people that do not have one. I'm not going down that road ever.
So this commercial veered into an anti-cell phone. So Home Title Lock is our sponsor, and they basically build a virtual barrier around your home's title. So if you want to check them out, go to HomeTitleLock.com, register your address, make sure you're not already a victim, use the code PHIL. You get 30 days free of protection to help you through this process. So that's that's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the code PHIL and check them out for 30 free days.
Phil, you should open up a business where when people who reach a certain age and they're tired of the black box, they can ship it down here and you can find destructive ways to, like,
destroy
them up.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know,
I literally
shoot
look
them.
At a cell phone. And what I'm seeing in my mind is a 5-foot rattlesnake coiled up with his head right in the middle.
Fangs dripping with venom. Yeah.
And I'm looking at a cell phone. I am that afraid of him.
Yeah. That's how I made it to be a virgin before I got married. Because whenever I'd had a woman who was loose, you know, a floozy,
yep.
I would just visualize a rattlesnake and I just got away, you know.
Yep.
So the American Professional Football Association was formed in 1920. Jim Thorpe,
I remember Jim Thorpe,
was the president. It had 14 teams in it.
Yep.
It later changed its name in 1922 to the National Football League. So football started 100 years ago, professional football. And then I know you're aware of this one, Dad. Jesse Langsdorf patented the first wrinkle-free necktie.
No, I missed that one somewhere down the line.
Wait a minute here. I thought the necktie came from people in the dust.
I remember it said wrinkle-free, all-weather wrinkle-free. So
I never saw my dad.
In the past, they all wrinkled
with a
the
necktie.
Oh. So
no,
they made
no neckties. We had no neckties.
Right. That just shows you that some things were awesome and some things. Because what are we doing now? What are people wearing ties? It's the most uncomfortable garment in the world.
It's not logical from any viewpoint.
No, it's let's just get this thing where I can barely breathe. I'm almost choking myself. And then go out and have a good time.
And then work at it all day.
Like, yeah, these people, I look, every time I see these people, I'm thinking, idiot.
But maybe because during the necktie period, and it's still holding in a lot of areas. During that period, people tended to be more, more calm and more pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about, you know, they were spiffed up, you know. I'm not saying.
Well, they were just lying, Phil. They were choking.
Well.
They weren't feeling
They weren't
good.
Getting blood
what
flow
What is
to
the
their
first
brain?
Thing people do? They'll come at my house sometimes. We'll have guests or whatever. Just have supper. And they have, you know, have a suit on. First thing you do when they walk, I see them. They're pulling it down and unbuttoning that.
So they can breathe again.
So, that, yeah, they're. Because I'm so like,
stiff.
Why?
It's so stiff looking. I don't know why they do it.
I don't either. I don't see how it caught on, and why are we still doing it?
I don't know.
Well, it's wrinkle-free for 100 years.
That's a good
years.
Question. I did not know the
answer. So here's one I thought was amazing. Shipping children through parcel post service was initially legal in the U.S., but in 1920, the U.S. Post Office banned shipping children through the parcel post service.
Shipping them in what?
I guess a box. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I never heard of anything like that.
Well, that's
you could ship
crazy.
Your kids through the United States Post until 1920, and they banned it. That seemed like that would have been a good idea to ban that earlier.
Maybe in a crate, like on a train or something?
I don't know. That's just what it says. That's a fact.
Well, that shows you right there. We had a long way to go.
So there were two constitutional amendments that were passed in 1920. Do you know what? Do you remember what they were?
The women had the right to vote.
Women's suffrage. Yep. Women got the right to vote in 1920, which was amazing that it took that long for that to happen.
I mean, the fact that they couldn't is just
so that
mind-boggling.
It blows my mind. The other one was prohibition.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yep. That was a constitutional amendment that no alcohol sales in America. Yep. Of course, that one went over like a thud.
Yeah.
So I had some facts, and I can't find them now, about what happened as a result of that. But alcoholism went up. Sales went up. Like everything they were trying to, because the black market came in and took over. Well, that's where all the gangsters, you know, was moving all the alcohol. And it was a bad idea. I mean, they probably did it with good motives, but it didn't work. So last one I'll give you is this one. I thought was pretty interesting. Johnson & Johnson, which is still a corporation to this day.
Own their stock.
Earl Dixon used tape and cotton gauze to make a bandage for his wife. He told his bosses about it. They made him a VP, and they named his invention the what?
I have no idea.
The Band-Aid.
Oh.
So, I mean, he just made one up for his wife. He worked for Johnson & Johnson. And think about how many trillions of Band-Aids have been sold since then.
We still use them today.
And he got to be a – so it worked out well for everybody, right?
Now, that was a good invention.
Yeah. Still, and it's still just as good as it ever was. Now you got big ones, you got little ones. My grandson comes in, I need a little one for his little toe. Yeah. You got the little tiny ones, you got the big ones.
So is the point of this that no matter what happens in life, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
That's probably
true. Hebrews 13:8.
Or it could be what old Jack Exum used to tell us. You remember the old preacher years ago when he came and
preached
to us?
Things
change. Things change.
You know, that was one of the greatest pieces of advice. We were talking about marriage earlier. That once I just realized that, because, you know, you think about when you're married, things change. And they're never going back to the way they were.
That's right.
When we had that first kid, that's it. It's now a whole new world.
Yep.
And it's just not going to be the same. Well, you know, if you're not ready for that, I'm sure we got young people listening that you have to be ready for
In
that.
In fact, it's one of the tenets of mine and Lisa's marriage work we did. It's the basis of our first book. We called it A New Season because the idea was is that you go through all these seasons in your life where things change. Mm-hmm. And so marriage and parenting is about adapting to the seasons. I mean, it's all about how you then adapt to that and pivot, because you're right, it's not the same. And so if you're not ready for that, if you're not saying, okay, how do we biblically and how do we together as a family go through these changes, if you're not prepared, it'll be a disaster.
It'll be a disaster. I see that with a lot because, you know, when you're 100% the center of attention as a newly married couple, when you have a kid, it's not a bad thing, but now you're no longer 100% of the attention.
And what's amazing, you know, y'all are my sons, four sons. Now you have your wives and your children, but you notice I'm not barging in, dictating policy. No, nope, I'm
And y'all one, are, y'all and, are grown. And one daughter now.
And one daughter. And you say, but you're not running around monitoring your siblings, their life job? Nope. That's which way past that. Mm-hmm. Now it's like maybe from time to time, Dad, what do you think about? And I'm like, well, I wouldn't do that.
And Jason and I are the same.
A little advice and counsel, but that's about it.
Let's take one last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
And Jason and I are the same because we have married children now, and I don't dictate to us. And I live close to mine. You're not around yours day to day.
But yeah, you've never said.
Oh, yeah. And look, I tell my grandkids, I'm like, they'll come to me sometimes. You're like, well, Dad won't let us do this. I said, then don't do it. Like, you listen to your dad. Like, I never want to superimpose whether I agree with what he's doing or not.
It's a strange thing. But we're under the matriarch system, like the biblical system. So it is a little different maybe with us. But there's a lot of them still.
And you know, it's funny you said that, Dad, because there's like what you just said, the word you just uttered, which is not a bad word, but that's, what do they call it now? Not a buzzword, but a trigger. That's a trigger word.
Yeah.
When in some circles in our culture, when you say the word patriarch, you just triggered somebody like to go into, I don't know what happens when you get triggered, but like that's a terrible concept, a terrible idea, a patriarch and matriarch. Isn't that crazy? I mean, just the idea of a mom and a dad.
It's a good idea.
It's a wonderful idea. It's a biblical idea. But I'm telling you, I hear it all the time. It's like this patriarchal system.
God's the one with the finger on that trigger. Not them. You know what I'm saying?
Not really, but it's interesting. I mean, I think what we read in Matthew 19 is classic. Profound. And I think what we try to do on the podcast, I mean, if somebody, because people all the time, they ask me, they're like, well, what is y'all's podcast about? And I'm like,
hey, how do you define that? The unashamed.
Jesus? Because Jesus is always right.
It's about life and immortality. Yeah.
So listen to this. So this is one of our listeners, Lloyd, sent me this past weekend. And I didn't know we were going to be talking so much about marriage on our 100th podcast. But he sent me this. He said, there's a growing trend in America. And I'd never heard of this before. And he said, I'm speaking to all these young professional couples. I don't know what Lloyd does. And they're looking into this for tax purposes. Here's what it's called. It's called a wed lease. W-E-D-L-E-A-S-E, a wed lease.
So you don't get married, you just get leased.
You just lease the relationship. So he looked it up and he sent me the definition. So listen to this. So this big idea came in 2013. So basically, you agree to marriage of a limited duration for a set period of time with renewal options. So it's like you go down and you lease a car instead of buying one, and you said, I may continue my lease at the end of X amount of years. So they're going to apply that to
marriage.
They're
trying to get married without the till death do us part.
Exactly. We don't want that. And here's the reason why he said it, because divorce is so expensive.
When they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, one of the things it says is, they invent ways of doing evil. And I haven't heard that either.
I never heard that.
Since you brought it up, I'm like, that's inventing a way of doing evil.
That's exactly
right. Is that nonsense or what?
Well, I just think it's
crazy.
I think I'm not shocked by it, because I think it's like I told you when I did that mission trip in the Ukraine, nobody was married. And I couldn't figure out why. And they said, well, it's higher taxes. And so I'm like, oh, well, I guess I answered that. I mean, they were just like being practical, saying, we act like we're married, but if you sign the dotted line, we don't have any money. So they don't, it was like a government program, oh, yeah, you know, right, that right. You just,
and where Karl Marx, he is get ready for a hellish existence on planet Earth every time he shows up, and he's behind all this crap we got going on now.
But it also says that marriage is hard. I don't know what the divorce rate is now. I mean, it was 50% fairly recently.
Similar. Closer to 60.
Yeah.
It's similar. It hadn't really gone up or down.
But
that
it
much.
Shows you quite a few things that it's just hard to get along, like we said. And to make it work. I mean, I don't see how people do it without Jesus, because there's no foundation for forgiveness there, you know, but and new starts and new beginnings. But
so we're almost out of time. But so the last one I wanted to do was funny. This is funny. This is one of our listeners named Gordon, which I thought was ironic because we have a goofy Uncle Gordon. He sent me this. He said, are you guys aware of, and I listened to it before the podcast, and I've already forgotten how to pronounce it. It's a phobia. I think it's pronounced anatidophobia. Anatidophobia.
Never heard of it.
Anatidophobia. It is the fear that somewhere, somehow, a duck is always watching you. Anatidophobia.
Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever
that
heard.
There's a duck that's always watching you. That's a phobia. Do you either one of you suffer from that?
Well, no, you might ought to get some medical advice to Gordon.
What would that medical advice be?
He needs some, I think.
Take
Phil's.
Two of these every 4 hours. Loosen up, Gordon.
He just said it as that's all he said. I thought that's pretty funny.
What's amazing is if that is a real word.
Well, I looked it up. I had to find.
Oh, it is a real word?
It is a real word, but it was originated from Gary Larson, who wrote a comic strip called The Far Side. So it's a funny. It's not an actual phobia.
I was thinking whatever the.
So maybe Gordon was telling us a joke. We're supposed to laugh.
Right. That's what it was. Yeah. But instead, you guys had him.
But
in
we're
the
duck hunters, so we're like, now we're watching them. They're not watching us.
But if they had a phobia, that would be it. Because I have a gun, and I'm trying to eat them. Shoot them and eat them.
Yeah.
So whatever their phobia, because I think that probably has caught on in the duck world. Right. They're like, there's some bearded guys, and then the phobia. It's kind of like hearing the story, you know, my cousin flew down to Louisiana. Next thing you know, we never saw him again.
Oh, there are ducks who know who we are.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So whatever their phobia is, we need a name for that. Yeah. I believe that exists. Yeah. Because, look, it's like I can read their minds. They cross the river, and then they're like, oh, no, there's that place. It's just like they just.
That's them.
Do you think the beavers, when they meet, they're getting information to the ducks to work against us? Maybe they're all in it together.
I think they're in cahoots together because every beaver dam's got 4 or 5 cottonmouths on it. They've been joined forces with them. Got to clean them out.
Well, I saw this week. Well, I guess we'll close with this. I saw this week that China, was about to send, I think the number is 100,000 ducks. These are farm-raised ducks to some country in Africa that the locusts are destroying their crops. So they're going to send 100,000 ducks there because ducks will eat, I think they said 300 locusts an hour. If you just turn a bunch of ducks loose on locusts.
Really?
So, yeah. So they're going to try to control the locust problem by sending a bunch of ducks there. So
hey.
I don't know what that means, but... There you go.
Maybe that answered your question. And what is a duck good for besides
eating?
Human consumption?
That's,
or for
I
don't
know about that.
Yeah.
Eating locusts. There you go.
The ducks go again. Thank you for the 100th episode. So we're going to close out. I got some good news for you. We have Dad's book, Jesus Politics. We are announcing today, again, to our audience. You guys get all the best announcements first.
Jesus and politics?
No, it's just Jesus Politics.
Jesus Politics.
And it's really great because Dad basically goes through and talks about Jesus principles and looks at some of the political stuff that's going on in our country today. What if Jesus was running things? So here's what we got to our unashamed audience, because we're going to need you guys to help, obviously, support our book. Believe it or not, Dad doesn't always get the most fair treatment from some of the people that rate books. And so, but we know you guys are going to want to, we know you guys are going to want to read the book. So the first 2,000 people to pre-order, and again, nobody knows this but you, so you get an opportunity today. Jesus Politics, you can go and pre-order. You get a signed copy. So the first 2,000 of you that sign up, Dad's going to sign the book for you. There's a chance, and this will be a drawing, I guess, for some of you to get a downloadable copy of the introduction and the first four chapters, because obviously we've already written the book. So you get a little preview if you advance and buy one now. And then they've got a family album with some pictures that we haven't released to other things that's also going to be available. So to find it, you go to Jesus Politics Book. That's all one thing, JesusPoliticsBook.com. And when you go there, it'll guide you to what you need to do to order a pre-order a copy. So we're excited about that. It's a great book. It's a great follow-up to The Theft of America's Soul. And I'm glad to get you guys, I'm glad to let you guys know exactly what we're doing first. So JesusPoliticsBook.com. Check it out. So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.